Hello and welcome to the Journeys Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we invite you to check out The Journey live this Sunday at 10:30 a.m. at Boca Raton Community High School. Visit bocajourney.com for service times and directions. Now let's join lead pastor Nelson Searcy as he teaches live at The Journey.
All right, well, welcome once again to The Journey, and today we are wrapping up a series called Step Up. In just a moment, we're going to talk about Step Up for Grace, and we're going to be reminded of the good deal we got when God invited us to His table. But today we're turning the corner from the Step Up series to a brand new series that kicks off next week called Passion, Purity, and Porn. And you receive some invite cards for that, for you to invite your friends to the kickoff next week. And this week, hopefully in the mail, if everything goes as planned, you will receive one of these. So I thought I might take just a moment and say a word about this new series. So the first thing I wanted to tell you about the Passion, Purity, and Porn series is that this series is rated PG. Now, it's not rated R, it's rated PG. And Journey Kids will be available during this series, but here's what I promise. In here, we won't say anything that you wouldn't hear at 8 o'clock at night on television. And in fact, we may even be a little too tame in here as we discuss some of these topics. And we're going to look at topics like reigniting passion in your marriage, redefining sex in our culture, restoring God's plan for our sex lives, and then also looking at the truth regarding lust and pornography. So the series is rated PG. Now, second, what I will promise is we're not going to shy away from the issues. As you can see from that list of topics that we're going to be discussing in here, we're not going to shy away from that. And the reason why is most of what people know regarding this topic comes from television, it comes from movies, or it comes from the locker room. Most people have never seriously explored what the Bible says regarding this very important area. And because most people live according to the world's way when it comes to sex, there's problems with pornography in our society, there's problems with sexuality in our society, lives are being hurt and hearts are being broken because we haven't really discovered the truth. So we're not going to shy away from the truth. And you know, we must address this topic in church because people's lives are being broken. Relationships are being hurt, and so many are missing out on God's blessing because they don't know the truth about passion, purity, and porn. But my hope is, after this relatively short series, about 4 or 5 weeks, that people will know the truth. And I believe this series can be one of the most liberating and exciting series that we've done in our church. And of course, I can promise you, like everything else that we do at The Journey, we're going to do it with grace, and probably some bad humor along the way. So that's what's coming up with this series. And, you know, our approach at The Journey has always been one of grace. I mean, there's no judgment in anything that we teach here at The Journey. And today, I want to talk about this topic of grace. So if you want to go ahead and grab your message notes, they're inside of your program. They look like this. Today, as we wrap up our Step Up series, I want to look at this idea of stepping up for God's grace. And I introduced the idea of the table as we celebrated communion together today. We're reminded that God invites us to His table by His grace. So in a sense, think of this as God's table. Think of this as God's invitation to salvation, and that God invites you to His table as an act of His grace. But what does that mean? You know, when we say things like we're saved by grace or we live by grace, what does that really mean? Well, the reason we have such a problem understanding grace is that most everything in our American culture is the exact opposite of grace. For example, let me give you some common American phrases, and let's see if you can finish these, all right? If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. That's exactly right. You've heard that. We make money the old-fashioned way, we earn it. You know that. There's no such thing as a free lunch. There was a free breakfast this morning, but you missed it. So there's no such thing as a free lunch. God helps those who help themselves. By the way, that's not in the Bible. Ben Franklin said that, just so you know. But these phrases, what they have in common is this American culture of works. You see, we believe in America that you work hard, you have to earn it, you have to strive for it, you have to go at it if you want to get it. I mean, today in the Super Bowl, we know the value of effort and discipline and sweat and training. You know, we tell our kids, you get what you deserve in life. We know these little pithy phrases like, if it's to be, it's up to me. Yeah, some of you even know that one. We say things like, you make your bed and then you lie in it. And all of this is called the American work ethic. And it works in America. But the problem is, God doesn't work by the American work ethic. When it comes to God, God doesn't operate toward his children in work ethic mode. Instead, God operates toward us in grace mode. And this is liberating. And this is good news. And this is the way you want God to operate to you, because God says our relationship with him, our invitation to his table, is not based on what we deserve. It's based on his grace. And so if you find yourself seated at God's table, saved by God's grace, secure in God's Son, then it's by grace. Let me prove that to you. Let's go to our first verse. It's actually a passage from Ephesians chapter 2. It's our memory verse. And you did pretty good with those phrases, so let's read part of this out loud together. I'll get it started, and then you join me a little bit later. But here's what Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves." So let's read the last part out loud together, starting with, "It is." Ready? Go. "It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Go ahead, if you can, in that memory verse and circle the word grace back up on the first line. The Bible says over and over that God is a gracious God. Now, what does grace mean? Well, grace, in a sense, means that God loves to bless people who don't deserve it. Aren't you glad for that? I'm glad for that. God loves to bless people who don't deserve it. God loves to invite us to his table. Now, my favorite definition of grace is a little acrostic, G-R-A-C-E, which is God's riches at Christ's expense. And that is, we receive all of the blessings of God, all of the riches of God, because Jesus Christ bought those through his death and through his resurrection on the cross. God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, today, we're wrapping up the series called Step Up. And throughout the series, we've challenged you to step up, and many of you have. In fact, we've challenged you to step up for growth and to set some spiritual goals and to ask God to grow you and make you more like his son, Jesus Christ, over the next year. We've asked you to step up for generosity, and almost 60 families in our church have taken this tithe challenge, and some of you are beginning now to experience the blessing of doing that. Last week, we challenged you to step up for groups, and if you haven't already, you should get signed up for a growth group and take that step of growth over this next season of life. And today, I was assigned to challenge you to step up for grace. But there's a problem with that. In fact, I put it as a warning inside of your notes, because this message is unlike any other message so far in the series. And here's the warning. The warning is, you cannot step up for grace. You can only receive it. You see, the idea behind the Step Up series is that we have to take some initiative. The idea is that we have to set some goals, we have to sign up for groups, we have to put ourselves in a position to grow, but that goes against grace, because grace says you can't step up for grace, you can't earn God's grace, you can't win God's grace, you can't deserve God's grace, you can only receive God's grace. You see, it's as if God sets this table of forgiveness, this table of grace, this table of salvation, and he invites us to it, even when we don't feel worthy, even when we don't have our act together, even when we don't feel his love or welcome his presence in our life. God says, you can't step up for grace. You can't earn your way to this table. You can only take the seat that I've already offered for you. You see, God graciously invites us to receive his grace. We can't step up for it. Now, if you do a study in the Bible, and we did a series on grace back around Easter, and we discussed each of these areas that I have listed in your program, You see, when I receive God's grace, here's what happens. I'm saved by grace, forgiven by grace, sustained by grace, healed by grace, liberated by grace, given talents by grace, used by grace, kept saved by grace, transformed by grace, and matured by grace. In other words, it really is all about God's grace. I'm invited to his table by grace. Now, if you want to go into more detail on that, we have that whole teaching series from back at Easter online at the website /grace. Now today, my goal is not to challenge you to step up for grace, but it's to remind you of the good deal you received when God invited you to the table. And then my step up challenge is not about his grace, because you don't earn God's grace, you don't deserve God's grace, you just receive it, but you shouldn't keep it to yourself. So I want to do two things. Number one, I want to remind you of the good deal you got when God invited you to his table. But then I also want to remind you that God says, share it with other people and invite others to his table. So let's talk about that. As you turn over in your notes, just to remind you of what grace is and the good deal that you received when God gave you his grace, let's just take it apart very quickly as we ask the question, what is God's grace? And if you are a follower of Jesus, then this is a reminder for you. If you're not yet a follower of Jesus, this is an invitation for you to receive God's grace. So what is God's grace? Well, first of all, God's grace is God's gift to me. Grace is God's gift to me. Now, since we live in this American culture of works, most people that you talk to and you ask them, how do I get to heaven? How do I get salvation? How do I get God's forgiveness? They will give you an answer that's not based on God's gift, but it's based on their works. In fact, if we were to go out today and go over to the town center or over to the beach, and we ask 50 or 100 people, how do you get to heaven? You'd get a lot of different answers, but basically they'd be summed up with you have to earn your way to heaven. And more people could tend to buy into this idea that I earn my way to heaven, that I earn my way into God's good favor. They think somehow if they do more good things than bad things, there's like these supernatural scales that are going to be balanced, and if it leans toward good, God says, come on in. And if the good pile is higher than the bad pile, somehow God is obligated to let you into heaven. But unfortunately, we can never be good enough to earn our way to heaven. God says, if you want to try to earn your way to heaven, you have to be absolutely perfect. So that means if you've committed one itty-bitty little sin, you've disqualified yourself. And hey, we've all disqualified ourselves, myself included. So we can't earn our way to heaven. And so because of that, God says, I'm going to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. God said, I'm going to give you this gift of grace, this gift of eternal life. Look at Romans 3:24 in your notes. It says all of us, pastors included, all of us need to be made right with God by his what? Grace, which is a free gift through Jesus Christ. Don't miss those words, free gift. You see, most people think they're saved by works. They think if they just do enough that they will earn it. But God says the exact opposite. God says it's a free gift. Now let me ask you, do you work for a gift? If you do, it's not free. You know, this morning at the Super Bowl breakfast, we gave away a few gifts. It's one of my favorite things to do. We do that sometimes at the newcomers' reception. But, you know, we gave away a couple Starbucks cards. We gave away a replica of the Super Bowl coin that they're going to flip today. Pastor Matt assured me that it was legitimate because he bought it in Times Square last week when he was in New York, right after he bought the Rolex watch. But anyway, that's a whole other story. So remember the part about bad jokes? Anyway, never mind. But we gave those away. I mean, no questions asked. People just won those gifts out at the Super Bowl breakfast. Well, just like they didn't do anything to deserve those gifts, all they had to do was receive it, God offers us the gift of his grace. And when it comes to salvation, when it comes to your going to heaven, when it comes to forgiveness, you can't earn it, learn it, buy it, or work for it. All you can do is receive it. And this, by the way, is the fundamental difference between Christianity and every other world religion. You see, if you look at every other world religion, whether it's Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, whatever it is, you can summarize every other world religion in the word do, D-O, because they say there is something you have to do to earn God's approval, something you have to do to earn God's favor. Now, each system is different. Buddhism says you follow the Eightfold Path of Enlightenment. Hinduism says that you do certain good deeds in order to obtain good karma, so that you're eventually reincarnated enough to achieve harmony with the universe. Islam believes that God is reached through the keeping of certain laws and rituals and rules throughout the day. But in every single other world religion apart from Christianity, you have to do something to earn God's favor. But Christianity, on the other hand, being invited to God's table is not about the word do, it's about the word done. D-O-N-E. Because Christianity says everything that you have to do to earn God's favor has already been done by Jesus Christ when he died on the cross for my sins and your sins. So somebody says, what do I have to do to be saved? Well, you're too late. Jesus already did it. It's already been done. It was done 2,000 years ago on the cross when Jesus died for you. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, some of his final words were, "It is finished." He didn't say, "I'm finished," because we know 3 days later he came back to life. But he said, "It is finished." What's the it? Your salvation. Your seat at God's table has already been provided. Everything that already needs to be done for your salvation was done by Jesus Christ on the cross. So you don't have to earn it. All you have to do is receive it. And if you've received God's free gift of salvation, take just a moment and be grateful for it. Say, God, thank you for this gift of salvation. And if you've never received it, know that God stands ready today and he wants to offer you this gift of forgiveness, this gift of purpose, this gift of heaven. It's available to you. It's God's gift to you. You say, okay, how do I receive it? Well, that's the R in your notes. It's not only God's gift to me, but it's received by faith. It's received by faith. You know, just like we gave away those gift cards this morning out at the breakfast, they could have rejected the gift cards. You know, we call people's names. We say, oh, you've won. And then we had someone take the gift card or take the replica coin over to them, and they could have rejected it. But when it comes to God's gift, God gives you the choice. You can reject his gift. God doesn't force you to come to his table, but by faith, you do receive it. And so you say, okay, God, I don't understand it all. I don't necessarily have all the answers, but I'm going to receive it. Because faith is the key that unlocks the gift that God offers you. In your notes, Romans 4:16. This is the first part of that verse. It says, people receive God's promise by having what?
Faith.
Faith. This happens so the promise can be a free gift. And before you turn the page, let me tell you what this means. This means that my salvation, my seat at God's table is not based on my performance. It's not about how good I am. It's about God's promise. It's not based on my merit. It's about God's mercy. And that's why God gets all the credit. God gets the credit, past, present, and future, for offering me the salvation. My only part was to have faith like a grain of a mustard seed. Faith to say, God, I receive this gift. And then, as if that's not enough, across the page, God's gift that's received by faith is available to everyone. Isn't that good news? God's gift that you can receive by faith is available to everyone. That means that everybody can have a seat at God's table. That means that God doesn't play favorites. That means that regardless of your background, regardless of your status, regardless of how many times you've messed up, regardless of your sin, regardless of whether you've been religious all of your life or today's your first time in church, no matter your religious background or no religious background, God says his grace is available to you. The second part of that verse we read earlier, Romans 4:16, it says the promise, that is the promise of salvation, is not only for those people that live under the law of Moses, which was the original Jewish people of the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament. Here it is. It is for anyone. I looked that up in the Greek. Literally, the word in the Greek means anyone, okay? Anyone. It's for anyone who lives with the faith like Abraham, the faith to believe, the faith to accept what God says. You see, God has expanded His grace, not just to a small group of people that we read about in what we call the Old Testament or what we think of as the Jewish people. God now says it's for everybody. And just to make sure we get it, he repeats himself in Romans 10:13. Notice this word. It's actually the same Greek word. Everyone. Did you catch that? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It means there's no quotas in heaven. The Bible never says that only really good people will be saved. It doesn't say that really religious people will be saved. The Bible never says that really smart people will be saved. It's anyone can be saved. Whether you're smart or not, whether you're religious or not, whether you're good or not, anyone who by faith receives God's gift can be saved. But the sad part is, even to this day, with all of this clarity in Scripture, a lot of people think that they can do something to earn God's favor. They think that if they're just good enough, they'll get to heaven on their own. Listen, let me be really clear with you. You may have done some really, really nifty things in life. But if you think those things are going to earn your way into heaven, forget it. Because heaven is only for perfect people. And you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm not going to get there on my own. And this is where grace comes in. Grace is the difference between me and perfection. And grace makes up the difference. So that whether I'm a 2 out of 100 or a 92 out of 100, grace makes up the difference and gives me the perfection I need to get into heaven. In other words, I don't get there on my own. It's not about my perfection. It's about the perfection of Jesus Christ, and I get there through him. Just as a side note, let me also say that this grace that's available to you, and many of you in this room, the majority of you in this room, you've already accepted God's grace. God made his grace available to you when you were far from God or whatever the situation might be. God is still making his grace available to people. There is no one who has disqualified themselves from God's grace. And I know that some of you have been praying for family members. You've been inviting your friends. You wonder if it's possible for some of your coworkers to be saved. Listen, they can be. The same way you were, by God's grace. No one is too far from God's grace. As long as they still have breath in their life, God's grace is available to them. It's available to everyone. So, the only way you get it is as God's gift to you, received by faith, available to everyone, and then it comes through Jesus Christ. It comes through Jesus Christ. This grace that is delivered to you comes through Jesus Christ. And as you write that down, it's logical to ask, why Jesus Christ? Why not Buddha? Why not Muhammad? Why not Krishna? Well, here's why. Because Jesus Christ paid the price for you to receive God's grace. He paid the price. That's what this table down here is about. When we remember the blood that was shed by Jesus, when we remember that his body was given on the cross, he's the one who died for our sins. Nobody else has ever done that. Jesus paid the price for you to receive God's grace. To say it more colloquially, Jesus paid the price for your admission into heaven. So Jesus said, you can have this seat at the table because I purchased it. I paid for it. John 1:17, the law was given through Moses. The law reminds us of how we messed up. The law reminds us that we're not perfect. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So listen, grace is free. It's absolutely free. Nothing you can do to pay for it. All you can do is receive it by faith. Grace is free, but it's not cheap because it cost Jesus Christ his life. Jesus paid the price for your admission to heaven, for your forgiveness, for your seat at God's table. Romans 5:15. Many people have received God's gift of life by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ. You see, when it comes to your seat at the table, when it comes to God's salvation, you get in through Jesus Christ or you don't get in at all. It comes through Jesus Christ. So the Bible challenges us in Galatians 2. Don't treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if we could be saved by keeping the law, then there was no need for Christ to die. Before you turn the page, let me tell you what that means. This means that if you could get to heaven on your own merit, by your own perfection, then Jesus Christ was the craziest person who ever lived. The cross was a waste of time. If you could get into God's kingdom, if you could earn the seat at God's table, Jesus Christ would not have had to waste his time to come to earth, to live, to die on a cross, and then to come back to life. But you see, there was no other way. You either get in through Jesus Christ, or you don't get in at all. And then once you're in, once you come to God's table through Jesus Christ, get this, on the back of your notes, it extends for all eternity. It extends for all eternity. The results of God's grace, the consequences of God's grace, they go on and on and on forever. You could really say that grace is the gift that keeps on giving. So once you come to God's table, you receive God's gift by faith, which is available to everyone through Jesus Christ. Once you have that seat at God's table, it extends for all eternity. Heaven is assured. This life is not the end. You will spend eternity with God. Hell is not your future. Eternal life in heaven is your future. Romans 6:23. It says, the wages of sin is death. So in other words, if we die apart from God, if we die apart from God's grace, we're going to reap death, eternal death in hell. But the free gift that we've been talking about today of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. All kidding aside about the Greek word from earlier, that Greek word for eternal life, it's the word Zoe. Maybe you know somebody, it's a popular name these days, Zoe. The Greek word for eternal life, Zoe, implies not only a quantity of life that you're going to live forever, but it also implies a quality of life. See, in Jesus Christ, you experience a new quality of life now, and then an eternal life with God in heaven, both quantity and quality. But there is one catch when it comes to all of this. God doesn't force it on you. God doesn't make you receive it. God doesn't twist your arm. God doesn't force you to accept his gift. Instead, you have to receive it. And let me just say, if you've never made that decision to receive God's grace, to accept this gift that we're talking about today, just right where you're at right now, just where you're sitting, just say yes to Jesus Christ. Say, Jesus Christ, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I thank you for coming back to life 3 days later. Thank you for giving me this gift of eternal life. God, I receive it today. I accept, not because I'm worthy, but because of your perfection, because of you, Jesus, I accept the seat that you have for me at your table. And maybe today, for the first time, grace has become clear to you, and you're ready to say yes to Jesus Christ. At the end of the service, mark that on the back of your connection card and let me know that today you are becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, it was in October of 1989 that I said yes to God's grace. I didn't understand all that I know today about God. I didn't understand all that I knew today about the Bible. But I understood enough to say yes. I realized that when it comes to grace, I'm never going to get a better deal. And you aren't either. So say yes to Jesus Christ and receive that seat that God has for you at the table. And that's for those of you who maybe up until now have never said yes to Jesus Christ. But before I wrap up, I want to talk for just a moment to those of you that are already seated at this table. You see, I knew before I came in today that I had a seat at God's table. I was a Christian before today's service started, and many of you were as well. In fact, those of us that came to the Lord's table today and we remember the death of Christ, we know that we have a seat at God's table. And part of what today was about was just to remind you of the good deal that you got when God invited you to his table. But there is a challenge God gives to us who are seated at his table. And that is the challenge not to keep his grace to ourselves. God wants us, and God uses us to invite other people to to his table. Now, at the table today, if we think of the table as our church, we're one part of God's greater kingdom. Our church is one expression of God's kingdom. But if we think of this table as like our church, there are some of you who are seated at the table today and you're brand new to Christianity. You're brand new to the church. You have an advantage, by the way, over the rest of us, because you know a lot of people who don't go to church. Because you have only recently started attending church, or you've only recently been baptized or recently become a Christian. You've got a lot of family members, a lot of friends who are part of that old life. So God says to you, reach out and invite them. You know, coming to God's table, when you experience all that God has for you, it's kind of like finding a new restaurant. You know, it's always exciting to find a new restaurant. You know, new restaurants open up all the time here in South Florida, and you go to one and you like it and you have a good experience. Well, you tell people about it. Now, studies have been done, and they find that if you like it, you tell two people. If you don't like it, you tell seven. But that's a whole other story for another day. But, you know, if you come to the table and you find God's grace, think of that as your opportunity to tell other people. And so if you're fairly new to Christianity, if you're fairly new to church, you actually have an advantage. But then there's those of us that have been Christians for a while. And so maybe you've been a Christian for more than a couple of years. You see, our problem is we get inwardly focused. We get involved in church. We get involved in growth group. We eventually let go of all of those friends that we had that were not Christians. And basically, our entire world becomes a Christian bubble. And we go to Christian events. We go to Christian churches. We go to Christian growth groups. We only have Christian friends. We have to especially lift up our eyes from time to time and look and intentionally build relationships with those who are not Christians. Now, it shouldn't be that hard to do. You know, in fact, we live in an area of the country that's one of the most unchurched, non-Christian areas in the world. In fact, 80-something percent of the people that we encounter every day do not share the same faith that we share. So chances are you live in a neighborhood with a lot of people who have yet to discover God's table. You go to work with a lot of people who need to experience God's grace. You've got family members who aren't saved. So what we have to do is we have to work really hard to build relationships with those who are not yet Christians. And I want to challenge all of you, whether you've been a Christian for just a little while or you've been a Christian for a long time, to think just a moment about how God could use you to share his grace with others. In fact, if you find your connection card, there's two next steps on the back that I want to point out. The first one is, if you just said yes to God's grace today, notice on the back it says, receive God's saving grace for the first time today by becoming a follower of Jesus. So if you just said yes to Jesus Christ a few moments ago, let me know by marking that on the back of your connection card. But then if you're a follower of Jesus, look at the next step. It says, ask God to use me to share his grace with others. As you think about this next few weeks, the next few months, this next year, who could you invite to God's table with you? You know, I've talked about those who are new Christians. I've talked about those who have been Christians for a while. You know, every week at the Journey, we try to make a seat for those who are not here yet. I mean, we're blessed to meet in this auditorium, for example. I mean, if you just look around, there's some empty seats. I don't necessarily think about the empty seats every week. I think about who's here and how we can best minister to you. But look at what could happen in our church if all these empty seats were full. Think about the lives that could be changed, the families that could be restored, the men and women, boys and girls who could be baptized. You know, we work really hard every week at the Journey to create a welcoming environment for people who come for the first time or come for the 150th time. And so there is an empty seat, and that's an opportunity for you and I to invite our friends, to invite our family to come with us. Now, next week as we kick off the series, there are, from time to time, special days that seem to be really great days to invite our friends. So that last next step is for everybody. Who could you pray for and invite to to come to the kickoff of the Passion, Purity, and Porn teaching series that begins next Sunday. You know, people are intrigued by what we're going to say next week about this topic. People need to hear this message that we're going to present. And then next week, we kind of go above and beyond when it comes to the kids' ministry with Bounce Houses and Jake the Journey Lion and a lot of good stuff that's going on next week. So what would it look like next week if some of these empty seats were filled? What would it look like if you brought a friend next week? If you invited a family member to come with you next week? They come because they're curious to see what the church has to say about sex, but then they stay because they realize how good it is to be at God's table. And just think back in your life on that moment when you first understood God's grace, how powerful it was to realize that God accepted you, that God invited you, that Jesus died for you, that your past could be forgiven, your present could have purpose, and your eternity could be secure. Let's pray for those empty seats that are sitting around us. And let's ask God to use us to invite folks to experience His grace. And if we do the invitation, if we invite them to come, God does His work. Pretty soon, there'll be more and more people sitting around God's table. And what a great and exciting opportunity that is to think that God could use us to tell other people about His grace. Look, when it comes to your life, when it comes to your friends, when it comes to your family, let me show you this verse. It's our last verse. It's Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. Notice what it says. It says, "The Lord longs," isn't that an interesting word? "Desires, wants to, the Lord longs to be gracious to you." God wants you to experience His grace. He wants your family, your friends. He wants those who are not yet here to experience His grace. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. Let's take a moment and thank God for that grace and then ask Him to use us as we invite others to come to the table that we've enjoyed. Let's bow our heads and pray together. First, with our heads bowed, those of us that are Christians, let's just take a moment and thank God for His grace. You can just do that quietly in your own heart. Maybe you've been a Christian for a year or 10 years or even longer. Just say, "God, thank you for your grace. God, help me to live more and more in your grace." And then if you've been coming to church for a while, but you've never said yes to God's grace, or maybe you're here for the first time, but something clicks and you're ready to say yes to God's saving grace for the first time today, just say it. "Jesus, come into my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I receive you today. I want to live for you and follow you from this day forward." And now, just before we wrap up, let's think about those that we could tell about God's grace. People that we could invite next week. And you know, the great thing about an invitation is you don't have to know all the answers. You just say, "Come and see. Come experience. Come to church with me." You know, this new series that we're kicking off, it's so powerful. Passion, Purity, and Porn. Discovering God's plan. Who could you invite? Who could you bring with you? Take just a moment right now and pray for those names that God brings to mind. And if nobody's coming to mind, pray that God would put you in the path of some people this week that you could invite. God, we look forward to celebrating how you're going to use us to tell others about your grace. We commit these names to you. We commit this new teaching series to you that's starting next week. We pray that you'd use all of that for your glory so that many would find your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this podcast. This is only part of what you can experience live at The Journey. When you join us for a Sunday service, you can expect practical teaching, rockin' music, casual dress, a great kids program, and a church experience that's actually fun. Visit bocajourney.com for service times and information. If you would like to give to the ministry of The Journey, you can give online anytime at www.bocajourney.com info.bocajourney.com/giving. If you have questions or feedback, please email us at info@bocajourney.com.